Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Three Women, Three Ways. We are three divas that want to talk to you about current events. My name is Deborah, and I'm here with Connie. Say hi, Connie.
Hey, Deborah. This is Connie Sue, or also known as Pinkley. Welcome.
Yeah, and that's exciting to be here on a great Saturday. And our current event that we want to talk about, what is our topic today, Connie?
We are going to talk about an incredible role model for women. And some of our listeners may have not really known of this person until the recent passing. And I just want to really acknowledge our condolences and support of Sally Ride.
Right, and she's a phenomenal role model for not only women, but everybody. And I'm kind of excited to be having this conversation about her. And I'd like to invite our listeners to join our conversation and let them know. You can call in at 646-378-0430, and we'll invite you to join in.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Deborah, I was going to just talk a little bit about a timeline. For those of you who may not know, Sally Ride, she's actually Sally Kristen Ride, PhD. She was born in May of 1951, and sadly she recently passed here on the 23rd of July from pancreatic cancer. But more importantly, she, on June 18th, 1983, became the first American woman to fly in space.
That is awesome. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you remember that, hearing that in the news at the time, Connie Sue?
You know, Deborah, I don't think I was too particularly interested in what was going on in the world. I was young and more interested in pursuing maybe going to the beach.
Gotcha.
Well, the name resonated. Of course, you heard a lot about her, but really not knowing the significance of the impact that she had in the world. She was a trailblazer for the first American woman in space.
Yeah, she really was. And I have to admit that even though Sally and I belong to the same generation, when she made her astronautical debut, I too was otherwise occupied in the fact that I was the mother of four kids that were less than 5 years apart, all four of them, and in an abusive relationship. So I too did not pay a lot of attention to this remarkable an outstanding accomplishment that she has paved the way for so many women to get into fields that were and still are today typically male dominated.
Yeah, absolutely. So she had actually also had in 1987, Sally already had degrees in physics and English from Stanford, was about to finish her PhD in physics when she saw an ad in the Stanford student newspaper saying that NASA was looking for astronauts. And astronauts had been military test pilots, and they had been all male. But now NASA was looking for scientists in engineering and was allowed women to apply. Whoa. And she immediately sent her application along with 8,000 other people.
And from that group, what an applicant pool. That's a terrible
What a pool. And so from that group, 35 new astronauts, including 6 women, were chosen to join the Astronaut Corps. And she was selected as an astronaut candidate in January of 1978. So she was actually in the field before she, of course, was actually the first woman to fly in space.
Yeah. And actually, she has an incredible career history in this male-dominated workforce around both government and NASA and science and engineering. And those are fields that to this day we are still trying to encourage women to focus in these areas and learn more about and become scientists, engineers, doctors,
right.
Researchers. In fact, it's called STEM, which is sciences, technology, engineer, and mathematics. And there are STEM projects in the different campuses that are projects that are specifically encouraging women to get into these fields of interest. Have you heard about those, Connie Sue?
No, not too much. I haven't. But in 2001, she founded her own company.
Tell me about that.
Wow. And it was called Sally Ride Science. And this was in pursuit of her longtime passion for motivating young girls and boys to stick with their interest in science and to consider pursuing careers in, of course, science, technology, and engineering, and math. And so the company actually created an innovative classroom, materials, programs, and professional development for teachers. So I think that is really pretty exciting. She was an incredibly accomplished woman, and I think it's just absolutely phenomenal that we're actually having this conversation today about her and in honor of her successes and the impact that she had on the world.
Exactly. And the fact that she is not notorious, I would say. She's not notorious. People were aware of her accomplishment in the early 80s, being the first United States woman in space. That had been preceded by Russia sending 2 women into space. Did you know that? In 1963 and 1982, they had 2 different female astronauts that they sent out to space. So I'm wondering what impact that made on the decision to have her become a crew member of the Challenger in 1983.
I'm wondering if there was if the U.S. was feeling some pressure.
They may have been. My gosh, if Russia can trust women in space, certainly the United States can, right?
Well, this is really an interesting conversation, and if anybody would like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 646-378-0430.
Yes. Tell us your memory of the experience of Sally Ride's inaugural ride to the space and beyond. Is that what the cartoon characters say? We want to go to the space and beyond. And she really was the first woman to accomplish that, along with several male crew members. And I can't imagine having that experience and what can top that, right?
Right, absolutely.
I can't imagine looking out the window of the Challenger and seeing the entire globe, the planet Earth, on my way to this scientific mission to disperse satellites to gather information. It's incredible to me that we can say that we humans have been, you know, on the moon, that we've had men that walked on the moon, and it's just such uncharted territory and so spectacular to me.
Right. Yeah. So you wanted to talk a little bit about a website. You want to talk about the website and another fascinating and interesting site that we can direct people to.
Right. Sally has, you mentioned, her own business, and her website is SallyRideScience.com. And in this business, which has grown to about 40 employees, along with her partner, who is the president or CEO of Sally Ride Science, they have developed some very innovative programs. They've also written books together. Is that right, Connie Sue?
They have. I was looking up, of course, this information is basically, it is available to everyone. She was also, we'll just make a note that also the media is saying that she was a very private person about her personal life, and that she did have a partner of 27 years, and that the media is talking about, and I'd like to maybe talk a little bit about that also. But there are several books that she authored and also co-authored with her partner, Tam E. O'Shaughnessy. And there are several books, and I'm looking at how many. I can't exactly find how many, but there are several listed here. And so it's interesting that I wonder if the people that were reading the book, and I would assume not, knew that this was actually her partner of 27 years.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's maybe the point that some of the media is trying to make about our historical leader here, Miss Sally Ride, is that upon her death, she actually announced that she had a female partner. And in fact, her eulogy and final comment was written in tandem with her partner, Tam. And that has spurred a lot of conversation either way about why did she wait to come out as lesbian until she passed, and, you know, was that the right thing for her to do, or what were her motivations for doing that?
Right. Well, and I think that in the era, I don't know, I'm just reflecting on maybe my own personal reaction in the early 80s, if I had heard that there was the first woman astronaut in space, and then to put a tagline on it, and she was gay, lesbian, that probably would have discounted my own thoughts and feelings about her. Now, I can't say that for myself now. I have certainly grown and changed and learned. But I think that in that time, there was a lot of stigma attached to it. And she might have felt, and of course, we have no way of knowing, and it could be just simply that she wanted a private life. But the feeling of oppression or some backlash, or she might not have been successful in this huge endeavor if they'd also known about her sexual orientation.
Well, I definitely agree with your thoughts along these lines, Connie Sue, because I think it would have taken her out of consideration for being an astronaut had she been openly gay at that point in her life. I think that, you know, it's still not common for our heroes and sheroes and celebrities to feel free to say that they are gay or not. In fact, I was reading an article that said that even in the professional sports arena, that most of the most famous sports athletes don't talk about being gay until they retire from the NFL or the NBA or the Soccer World League, that they choose to not talk about their sexuality while they're actually in the public eye so completely, and
right,
they wait until they have retired or assumed a more private life before they will talk about that piece. And I'm wondering that even in this day and age, right, we're in the 21st century, I just think it's a commentary on our lack of social and cultural growth and understanding that we even have to have that conversation.
Right. Well, I was reading about an Episcopal bishop, Gene Robinson of New Hampshire, who in 2003 became the first openly gay bishop in the American world, noted that both he and Wright were baby boomers who grew up in a time when coming out was almost unthinkable. And he goes on to say, for girls who had an interest in science and wanted to go places, women had not been allowed to go. She was a tremendous role model, said Robinson. The fact that she chose to keep her identity as a lesbian private, he honors that choice. However, he had a different standard for younger gays to the point of insisting that his own clergy in New Hampshire be open about their sexuality if they are gay or lesbian. So that's just quite an interesting twist. And I want to also quote one other thing from her sister, Ride's sister, Bear Ride, a lesbian who has been active in gay rights causes, emailed a supportive explanation of Ride's choice. And I pulled this out of the MercuryNews.com. And she goes on to say she was a very private person who wanted to do things her way. She didn't like labels. She hated them, including the word hero. So it could have been a personal choice. And I think what I'm feeling from this is not so much about whether she did or didn't disclose, but that she had that choice.
Right. Right. She had the choice, and we should all have the choice. I do not go around in my community saying, hello, I'm Deborah, and here's my sexuality. I don't have to do that. And I don't believe anyone should have to do that. It would be nice if we could just be appreciated for our skills and our talents and our personality and those sorts of things. What do you think about that, Pinkley?
I think absolutely. A person should not be judged on their who they love. I think it's more important that we love than hate. And it ties back in about choice. Did she have a choice? And I'm not going to speak to whether she did or didn't. I just want to know that she had a choice.
Right. And if you listeners have a comment or a question, you can call us at 646-378-0430. We'd love to hear your input. And I'd also like to note that we're one of our three women is engaged in another work opportunity today. Heather is working outside in another agency, and if she is able, she has said she will call in. But so normally you hear three of us discussing these things. So Connie Sue and I, Deborah, are working and hoping that Heather will be able to call in at some point. And I think that we were talking prior to our show opening, Connie Sue, that when we look at this news situation between our life experience about and what we've said, that we've all experienced violence, interpersonal and probably socially and culturally as well, that this fits into our thoughts about oppression. And oppression can be a form of violence. And I think anything that silences you about any aspect of your personal life, your business life, your professional life, your community life, has the ability to be an oppressive situation. And I know that I personally, if I feel like I'm unable to share my experience of being a survivor of domestic violence, that I feel silenced, and I feel that, to me, is a form of oppression. Do you have an opinion on that?
I do. Absolutely. No, I do. I, again, the oppression piece, and I think that's what we were trying to really tie into the reason why we wanted to honor Sally Ride today in our conversation around forms of violence, and in no way are we saying that there. This is not a that she was. I mean, it's a form of violence, and it
yes.
feels to me as though she was in a situation that she was being oppressed, and we want everyone to be able to have the choice of being open about who they are, what they've experienced, how that's impacted them in their life. And this is really what this call radio show Three Divas is about, is so that we can share our experiences and hopefully work with other people or listen to other concerns about that and experiences and how people are moving along in their life.
Well, Connie, I see that we have a caller. Let's have our caller chime in. Hello, caller.
Hello, Deborah. This is Heather.
Hey, you made it.
I did. Thanks. You guys are doing such a great job. I agree wholeheartedly that the whole idea is oppression, but what interests me is that Sally Ride never, ever talked negatively about anything. Everything was positive. Her experiences at NASA were positive. Her experiences, you know, she just kept it very, very positive. And I'm wondering if that's because of the era in which she was. You know, you don't want to talk about it and make waves, or that will, you know, hurt you in the long run. What do you think?
Well,
that is an interesting question. I think that women, first of all, a woman wanting to do a science-oriented career was not the norm in the 70s. And that's when she was working on her educational goals in the late 70s. So she was already bucking the system by being interested and intrigued by science and engineering. So she was already different, right, compared to at that point. I remember when I was alive in 1977 that
people, ooh, you're old.
I'm older than dirt. Isn't that what they say? But that the experience was most women would be married and have a family. A career was an extra and not at all a given or an assumed right for women to have.
Well, and if I could jump in here, if you did have a career, you were expected to be a teacher or a nurse.
Ah, very true. Very
true.
True. Connie,
yeah.
Did you have a high school counselor that encouraged your career aspirations differently?
Only to sew, cook. Clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I like your point of view, Heather, about her being, what did you say? I interpreted it as being optimistic. She wasn't a negative
yes.
person, would always speak
yes.
highly. And so
yes,
I also,
she only spoke highly of those experiences, even though you know it had to be tough, you know. But talking about her education, I'm wondering if she maybe just kind of, as many of us did in those days, she kind of kept up one foot in each era, one foot being the good girl and one foot being the testing the boundaries. I noticed when we were talking about her education, she not only had a degree in physics, but she also had a degree in English.
Right.
Well, I would like to also think that, I appreciate that viewpoint, but that she was also simply, and it's not a simple statement to make, but that she was a very strong and courageous woman.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. She kind of kept herself close to the vest. Yeah.
Yeah, did what she was going to do, just like what her sister saying. She just simply wanted to do things her way. And so to even think about what that might have been like to have been in a relationship for as long as she had been with a woman, somebody she loved and cared about, obviously says a lot. And I think that we can take that as being also a very good role model for people, that to say you can have a long-term relationship with someone you love and care about.
Right.
The thing that really upsets me and bothers me is that we're not still yet at the place where their relationship would allow for her partner to be treated as a domestic partner in the sense she's not going to be able to collect on her federal benefits pension. Mm-hmm. So if she'd been married in a heterosexual relationship, there wouldn't even be a question about that.
Well, yeah. Actually, I did read in the bio that she was married at one time.
She was married,
of course.
Yes.
To a man for 5 years.
So he was a fellow astronaut, Stephen Hawley.
Right.
Yeah, that was during her NASA time.
Right. Well, one of the interesting things that I just would like to sort of put this out there also is that not only did her sister say she was a very private person and didn't like labels, so we don't want to label anyone gay, straight. I mean, that's part of our oppression piece. But her name was Carolyn Porco, a prominent planetary scientist and leader of the imaging team on NASA's mission to Saturn, met Rice many years ago when she was an astronaut candidate, already steeped in the NASA mindset of reserve and self-effacement. So there might have been also that posture that she was taking. You know, she had to represent herself as being strong. And she also goes on to say, following her career all these years, she struck me as a person of impeccable class, and it doesn't surprise me that she wanted to keep her life private. But I don't think, what I really like about this that she goes on to say is, I don't think it's anyone else's business. And I'd love for us all to get to the place where it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Pinkley.
Yeah, that's the 21st century mantra. It doesn't matter anymore. Why does someone have to announce their sexuality?
Yeah, exactly. But I think in talking about opinions about that and the climate around that, it's also important to remember that these women who did all these firsts did them, 30, 40 years ago and beyond, and there was a definite mood in the country where they could have damaged their long-range goals. They could have damaged their careers and their goals if they, were open about some of these things, not necessarily just sexuality, but a number of things.
Even, yes. And I agree with that. When you're a leader or a role model or the first one to do anything, do you have a support circle? That's going to be a very limited, select group of people, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, too. Especially back then,
Yeah.
So I
mean, it's 1983 and 84, so a while ago.
MC Hammer days.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're more worried about our pants than our celebrities.
I want to add one thing. I want people to know that in honor of Sally Ride, that they can donate to the Sally Ride Pancreatic Cancer Institute or Initiative. Excuse me. And the fund number on that is 4191.
So that's wonderful, and I think there's no better way to honor someone than in the way they wish to be honored. And so because they've shared that that's a possibility, I'm sure that Miss Sally Ride would like to be remembered for all of her contributions to our world and society. And certainly not least is her ability to uplift the place of women. Thank you for listening, listeners. And it has come to the end of our show, and we want to encourage you to call in next week, log in next week, and call and join our conversation. And in the meantime, we're going to close our show with the fact that we are three women.
Three ways.
Three divas.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, and you all have a great day.
And join us next week.
Yes. Yeah.